Thai Center, May 21st, 2023. The status circle starts after 10 minutes of meditation and bhajans.
For tonight's quote, we're going to read it once all the way through, and then we'll contemplate for a couple of minutes, and then we'll share about our experiences. You are all present now. You are seeing me and listening to me. You feel that now is true. But how long is this true? How true is all this? This is a real experience for you, so long as you are in the waking stage. This night, when you lie down in bed and start dreaming, the dream is as real to you as all this. This waking stage and all this experience are then unreal. You experience fears, delusions, joys, and pleasures in the dream, and they are all true so long as you dream. But wake up, and the dream is negated. Both are dreams, a night dream and a daydream. Only one idea is permanent throughout the dream, the deep sleep and the waking, the idea of the I. I dreamt, I slept, and I woke. That I, the I behind all the manifold millions, that I is the truth and nothing else. If you'd like, please open your eyes. Who would like to share about their experience or their understanding of this?
I was contemplating on, like, why is it that it's so easy to negate the night dream when you wake up? It's so obvious, right? You've woken up, it's the dream is done. And why it's less easy on the daydream. And I was just really just wanted to know about that. And something I was thinking was, at night, you so unconsciously fall asleep, and you, I feel like unconsciously wake up. You have no control over it. But I think in the daydream, I know I unconsciously fall asleep, but waking up is, I don't know if it's more effort, but there's something about it that is more involved to stop that flow of images that you're like following. And I was thinking maybe that's the reason, but then I was thinking in the night dream, I don't really get to experience like that feeling of what's beyond that dream. And in the daydream, I get to, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily important. It was just something I was asking myself and seeing.
I have an experience that relates to what you said, and the sometimes in those dreams where I'm very clear that I'm dreaming, but it takes me some time, the opening of my eyes or the movement or whatever, there's a little bit of a lapse. It's not easy to open my eyes or move my body to get out of it, but I've experienced that.
My experience is not very similar to yours, because sometimes when I wake up, I don't know if I dreamt that. It's like my dream mimics reality. It's I can't tell, did I dream or did it really happen or is it going to happen? It's very confusing sometimes when I wake up, and it's like I see an event either has happened or is going to happen, and it becomes very confusing. It doesn't happen often, but it's the night dream. It's very much like the daydream.
Well, that's the best sign you could have, that they're both a dream. You call one reality, that's the problem. Otherwise, I mean, something in you is really pushing you to see that there is no difference between, except for the length of it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I feel, did I actually do that? I have to go back and check.
Yeah, they're both a dream. It's just that it's being shown to you. There is no difference between the two. Like I said, except that the daydream would be the creation, which is the creation of a cosmic mind. So it has duration, and it takes longer to wake up. But in the daydream, you have some faculty that is very, very important, and that is the faculty of discrimination that in the night dream you don't have.
What do you mean by in the daydream we have discrimination and in the night dream we don't? We can question.
In the night time, rarely ever you remember that this is a dream, or I can wake up, or this is not my reality, or whatever. But in the daydream, once you are familiar with the wisdom, ancient wisdom, you have the faculty of discrimination, because in the daytime, it is the cosmic mind in function, and at nighttime is the personal mind. These are all intuitive things I tell you guys, but if it doesn't set in your heart, it's not for you. It takes years and years to understand the truth of it.
Your latest audio that we had for meditation on Friday about the daydream, night dream, it really took me to where I kept asking, who is it that's dreaming? And I just got so silent, I couldn't go past the who is it that's dreaming.
Yeah. Baba explains it in this writing. Who is the dreamer? In both dreams.
The idea of the I, like he says here?
It's not an idea. Does it say idea?
I'm just saying that part really stood
out. Is the I. What is this I, the consciousness? And there is only one consciousness. I mean, I think we have been blessed to have this explained so thoroughly so many times, that other people don't get that chance. The next question.
So first, can you share something? Well, today, I had very, very busy day at work, and several things happened, and I really fall asleep. And I was keep remembering, I'm dreaming, I have to wake myself up, first I have to wake up. But until I really said enough and just run into my car,
exactly.
Continue, just it's a dream. But it was just mental. Then I went to my car and I did omnipresent meditation and just remember who you are and what is that. Then after that, I remembered one of your audios that you're saying that when you cannot understand it with your mind, because mentally I was trying so hard to wake myself up. But then I remembered your audio that you said the mind cannot understand it. As far as mind goes, I can touch him. How can this be a dream? I can touch him. This is what you are saying. And I saw myself exactly in that situation. How could that be a dream? Really, mind cannot understand, but with all the tools, we can discriminate and it just needs the minute, the moment of saying enough.
Yeah, when you know that the mind cannot understand, you go into silence and then you're awake. The dream stops. Did it not stop for you? Your activity of the mind?
Activity of the mind is stopped.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, it's just another gate open. Just functioning from another source. Instead of...
I just figured out why I don't panic when I go there. Oh my God, what you were saying, that's why the panic leaves me when I go there. Or exactly what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm. When you go to silence, you mean?
Yeah.
Because you pass the mind. When Most Precious says go beyond the mind, it doesn't mean to climb a mountain and then go back behind it. It means go beyond the thoughts. Mind is thoughts. That's all there is.
I have spent time reviewing Most Precious since Friday, almost the entire day, the entire time. And I have noticed, even going through the book and reading it, it does make a difference, because I have noticed many times when I take everything seriously, it's because I haven't practiced. I have put my practice away because I feel good for a short time.
Yeah.
And then there are critical times and I'm not ready for it to actually use my tools effectively. And reviewing Most Precious during the last two and a half days has been extremely important for me, and I am going to make this a routine, because that's absolutely what I need to make sure I am.
It becomes
intuitive.
You see, we want freedom, we want peace, we want tranquility, but it takes a long time for maturity to say, no, this is not that I want it, this is my life. That's when you really live it, is when you realize it's not something that you do 10 minutes here, 5 minutes in the urgent time. Once you realize that is your life, because it feels so freeing, then it is your life. But until then, there is a lot of push and pull, a lot of leaving the ship and swimming in the ocean of samsara, which is the worldly bazaar. And that's normal. I mean, that is the approach that every seeker of the truth has to go through, unless it has done that in another lifetime. Even if it has done another lifetime, it still might have to go another one. But this is why I always emphasize and remember, this is now our life, meaning that use the art of living as much as you can instead of the chaos. But like I said, have patience with yourself, because it takes little by little to unwind, to undo the damages. And my heart goes to the children that are born and now they have to go through conditioning all over again.
Thank you.
I had an experience recently with one of your tools that reminds me of this, or helps me see it a little bit better about waking up. I was having a really a stressful time in my life, and at the time you were talking about stay, just stay, and I just did it very seriously for myself in the midst of all this, and I just didn't, and I wouldn't come back. I would just stay, and I'd be peaceful when I stayed, but the original tendency is to keep coming back, and I said, no, I'm going to stay. But something in that time changed, and my mind was just calm and was going to stay calm. It stayed calm, even though nothing had changed.
Yeah, this is the goal, what you just said. And remember the example of Ramana Maharshi with the squirrels. It will come out. It will come out. It will come out. But eventually, it subsides.
And what I felt at that point too was that how much better that feeling was than, more important that was than any belief I had that made me want to solve for something or struggle through it.
Yeah, it's nothing better than firsthand experience and realization. I mean, all this truth points us to achieve our own realization.
Anyone else like to share about this?
You want to say
something? I was just going to say how you say this is our life, and I feel that even like externally, like my space or, you know, my normal routine of things that I do to be connected and all of that stuff, when I was kind of pulled away from my home for a little bit because of the situation with my family, when I got back there and sat in my space and just connected again, even just in the physical space. I tried to connect as much when I wasn't in my physical space. But just the reaffirmation that I was back in my same routine, in the same like loving arms, physically, like literally I was in that space. It just was such a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. It is.
You feel now that this is true. But how long is this true? How true is all this? This is real experience for you, so long as you are in the waking stage. This night, when you lay down in bed and start dreaming, the dream is as real to you as all this. This waking stage and all this experience are then unreal. What is the significance of this for you? What is your understanding of it?
So say when you go to sleep tonight, like what we experience right now will then be unreal.
Listen, let's not even debate about it. This is coming out of an avatar's mouth. Had I heard it when I went to see him, it would have been a really fast start. But it did come from his mouth. And we have to give it some weight that this is not debatable. He's trying to help us. And he's telling us the truth. Now the contemplation comes to the picture, right? Not this discussion of it. If we heard it from some politician, even though it is the truth, we would say, go home. But it's coming from a very, very high evolved soul. It's enough to give it a weight, as enough to contemplate on it. That's all we need to know. You know, when I read that, I was so happy. I wrote to Kavi, I said, how did you find this? How come I didn't find it the first few years I was with Baba? And I think it's coming in our hand when we already, we're familiar with it. It just stamps is reality of it, the truth of it. You know?
So you haven't seen this?
No.
Seriously?
She yes. didn't even know that Bubba had ever talked about daydream.
No, this was all intuitive. Wow. No. But it makes me extremely happy because I see that coming out of an avatar's mouth and giving us in an invisible way, and method to even sit here and not blow our mind, say, yeah, it makes sense. Now, someone, who was it, told me, said, Baba used to say, there was someone that went, I heard him just a few days ago because I was a friend of him, that he was friend with us, and he had come to our house and popped out on YouTube talking about Sai Baba. So I got really interested because he's the one that brought three roses to the door. After I talked to you, mm-hmm. this popped up.
Really?
Honestly, God. And so he said that he went in the 70s. He said before that, and in the beginning of he was there, Baba talked nothing but about Advaita. But as the crowd came, more and more than do's and don'ts became more, it had to be that way because people came from every class, from every country. And it's not something that you just, what is it? There is a story in the Bible that you don't throw your seeds in a ready, but it's not like
ground.
It's cultivated land. Because it just doesn't grow, right? So I often wonder why people do not have a private time, which they did have. Why don't they talk about Advaita with him? And here it is. He found it on the internet. So I know that Kumud and Serenia read hundreds of books of Baba. Have you ever come across something like that? Serenia?
No.
Now, neither have I. And it makes me so happy that he doesn't have to be in the body. We don't have to be in the interview room to receive his grace and his knowledge, his wisdom.
I was also listening to one of the recorded videos, the Christ consciousness. And one of the things that you say is the biggest honor we can give to an avatar, prophet, to a messenger of God, to a son of God, whatever any religion wants to name it, is actually allow ourselves to experience the teaching they have brought, arguing about it. I think it is actually the biggest honor that I can give to follow your teachings more effectively by practicing more often.
Because, listen, whether you're following an avatar or a messenger of God or a realized soul, their body will perish. But that pure consciousness that they achieve always follows. Their teaching is always point you to yourself. So it's like it follows, you follow with their grace.
Sachin, we have just a couple minutes left. Just read it one more time.
Can I read a part of it before we finish? Yeah. And we don't need any discussion because it's the most important part of it. Listen carefully, guys. There is only one thing is permanent throughout the dream. The deep sleep, the waking, and this dream. And that is the I. That I say, I dreamt, I slept, I woke up. That I, behind all the manifold billions or millions, that I is the truth and nothing else.
This part was recorded after Sai Center program ended.
You know, in nighttime, we have a nightmare. We wake up and go to the bathroom, come back, close our eyes, and we have continuation of that. Then you get up, have a glass of water, go back, a continuation. And finally, you sit in your bed and you pray to God that when you fall asleep, you don't have. And then it goes away. You take enough time of just settling down and not dwelling on it. Eventually it goes away. The same thing happens in the daydream. You wake up in your meditation and then you fall asleep again and again and again. And finally, finally you settle down for good. Is it? Mm-hmm. It's a permanent settling down.